I want you to go over to John. You have to engage with God. John 6:28. I sit in worship this morning, and the Lord just floated this through me. It'll help you how to hone your compass in. So if you want to go to the next level, John 6:28, they said unto him, what shall we do? Say do. Do. Say do. What shall we do? There's something you're going to do. If you don't learn to do the right thing, you're not going to inherit. If you do out of the wrong part of you, you're not going to inherit. Do you understand what I just said? Amen. If you don't learn what is your part in the doing, because one thing when it comes to the kingdom, you don't get to just go do it. That's hard for the A-type personalities. How many of you are A-type? That's the take charge, do it. Now, God will use that personality, but he's got to get that personality in line with the way the kingdom works. Because what happens is we'll get up in God's mix when it comes to trying to figure out how to get this thing produced. Amen? So that part has to be surrendered. But then what happens so many times I see is God will move us into a season of brokenness. Let me ask you, how many alpha male females have been moved into a season of brokenness? So God processes us in brokenness. If we stay in brokenness, you're not going to understand the fullness of walking with God. Brokenness is not a land you stay in. Brokenness is a process. Then we got the only reason there's brokenness is not because God desires to break you down. The only purpose of brokenness is to get part of you out of the way. The only brokenness that's going to happen is the old man. He's not going to break the new man down. He's breaking the old man down to get him out of the way. So he won't interfere with the promises, because what God wants to do with you, you cannot do. Ultimately, what God's perfect will for you is way far beyond anything you can ever do. But the old man will try to come and do it. Amen? So he's got to get the do out of you. That part of the do. Amen? But then you're left, okay, I can do nothing of myself. How many of you have been there? So right there, right now, Pastor. Hallelujah. But then what happens when you're broken, a lot of times you can't get anything together sometimes. It's like, I can't do anything. But what you got to do is re-engage, say re-engage, and learn what you can do. Because you have to do something when you're operating with God. You just got to find out what you can do and what you can't do. What's sanctioned and what's not sanctioned. Amen? Well, how do I know? Just walk with God long enough and trust me, he'll share it with you. You'll know. How many of you ever been processed in what you can do and what you cannot do? Amen. Okay, so what they're asking the Lord, say, what must we do? So that he's going to address the do question. Amen. What's the doing? What can we do? It's inherent in our nature. I want to do something to get to the next level. What can I do to get me to the next level? Jesus answered, that I might work the works of God, that I might operate in the fullness of God. And what's he say? Verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. This is your sanctioned doing. This is what you can do. Here's what you can do. You want to know what you can do? You want to know what you can do? You can't work it out. Can't put your hand to it. Can't do the ooza thing to it. I remember one time I was getting involved way too much in something, and Carlos goes, ooza, ooza. That's how he said it too. So I was boldly complaining and about something. I was all up in something I shouldn't have been up into. You know, ooza, he studied that art. Can't touch the glory with your hands. Can't touch it. When you're dealing with God's glory, you can only do one thing. Say, believe. Believe. That's the hard part, because we want to do something to get us out. You have to do something, but you can only do what's sanctioned by the kingdom. And the only thing the kingdom sanctions when it comes time to move mountains is it's not by your might, not by your power, but by His Spirit. And you can only do what He tells you to do. You can only do, He says, here's what you can do. Ready? Believe. Say believe. This is the work of God. You believe. Say believe. So believing, you can write this down. My do is to believe. My do is to believe. Now that you wrote that down somewhere, go back one chapter. Chapter 5, verse 19. Believe me, the Holy Ghost will help you if you don't know what you can do, can't do. You'll find out real quick, the spirit of burning will get on you. Spirit of burning, you start putting your hand to something that's not God, it'll burn you. Uzzah, ooh, he died on the spot. Something in you will die if you touch the glory of God too much. Something in you needs to die if you're touching the glory of God. God will teach you to respect the weightiness of the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of God is weighty, and the things we're after is things we can't do. We've already seen what the church can do. What we're after is what we can't do. Only He can do, working with our do to get it done. Amen. So to do is to believe, right? Now go back to John chapter 5, verse 19. He actually repeats this twice. Then Jesus answered and said, verily, verily. When He says verily, verily, that means listen. He's saying something important. The Son, look at this. He understood what He could do and what He could not do. He Himself was processed in this. A lot of people think Jesus just walked around doing it. He did not do. He was under submission to the authority of the Father. Holy Spirit was under submission to the Lord. The Lord was under submission to the Father. They walked in perfect submission. They understood authority. He said, verily I say to you, the Son can do, say do, nothing in and of Himself. So He knows, He found out what He can do and what He can't do. But then He starts, now watch what He says, but what He seeth the Father do. So you can write this down. I can only do what I see the Father do. I can only do. Now, you can do a lot of things. Don't misunderstand the scripture. But when it comes to kingdom manifestation, when it comes to kingdom demonstration, you're only going to be as effective as doing what you see the Father do. All right? Now, in seeing the Father, what does that mean? How do I see what the Father's doing? How do I see? That doesn't mean you wake up, oh, I see the Father's telling me to go to HEB, not Randall's today. Amen. It's a little higher than that. Praise God. When the Father's involved with something, it's going to be way beyond HEB and Randall's. Amen. When the Father gets involved with something, He's talking about getting you out of the bondage of Egypt, the bondage of debt, bondage of sickness, bondage of disease, bondage of status quo, bondage of mediocrity, to move you in to the realm of the impossible. That's what the Father does. That's what Jesus said. I can only do when the kingdom's involved. When it comes to the kingdom, I can only really do what I see Him doing. So how do we see what the Father's doing? Well, the first step, because I got into this, of course, before you start seeing what the Father wants to do, truly do, because when the Father does something, it's way beyond you. You can write that down. When the Father does something in me, it's going way beyond me. Say, way beyond me. You wouldn't need Him if it wasn't. Amen? When the Father steps in, it's going to be way beyond. See, when the Father stepped in with Moses, He came in there to dispossess nations. When the Father came in there dwelling in the tabernacle of God, when they were journeying, they were dispossessing nations, see. He come in there to dispossess all the inhabitants of the land. They couldn't do that without Him. He was there. Amen. When the Father was with the Lord, he was coming to dispossess sickness, disease, poverty, the curse, sin and death, disease. Everywhere he went, he dispossessed it, pushed it back. When the Father was with him, gravity stood still and obeyed when he walked on the water. When the Father was with him, he could command the seas and the winds and the storms to be still. See, that was everything man could not do. This is the realm we're talking about. The realm of the impossible. I can only do what I see him do. How do I see him? Before you can see what he's doing, you have to get introduced to him. Amen. That's why the Lord said one of his great missions was first to save you. And his second great mission was to bring you into the love of the Father. If we can get that design down properly and not get hung up, because a lot of times what happens is we get saved, but we don't make it to the next level. The next great level is dwelling in union with the Father, reconciliation to the Father, no longer fatherless. Amen. In your mind, you're not fatherless, but in your spirit, it has to be reconnected to the love of the Father. How do I know what I'm the Father? Because you dwell in his love. You have to dwell in his love because everything the Father doeth, he doeth by love. So how are you going to do what the Father's doing if you're not dwelling in his love? You won't see it the way he sees it. You won't feel it the way he feels it. Amen? You're not going to see and feel the way he sees and feels about what he wants to do. You can see what he wants to do by prophetic. He can give you a prophetic word. He can give you a download when you first get born again. But you won't actually see it and feel it the way God sees it. When Joseph was given the word that his sheaf would rise above the stars and the moon, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, he was seeing that God was going to elevate him above his own family. But he was seeing it through the eyes of a 17-year-old boy, full of pride, full of himself. My sheaf is going to rise above your sheaf. Look what God has done for me. The last thing he should have done is went and shared that word with them. They already hated him. His father favored him above them, which was not good, creating jealousy in the ranks. So, you know the story. By the time Joseph come around and went through all of his process, the time that word came, he saw it differently. He felt it differently. He understood God did this for the preservation of the nation. And he loved his brothers. Amen? Even after they hated him. Sometimes when we see it in an early age, we're not seeing it on this side of the Father's love. We're seeing it through the eyes of the lenses of the old man that has not been processed yet. Amen. That's why. So what we're doing is we're trying to get God to come and do it the way we see it, the way we feel it, the way we think it should happen. God said, no, it's going to come to pass, but there has to be a shift in you. Because I can only do what I see my Father doing. My Father's only going to do it by love. There's no other way he's going to do it. There's no way he's going to bring it about. That's why all this stuff he showed me 25 years ago could never get to pass, because I didn't know the Father. I thought I knew the Father. Oh, I could get in the love of God like you. I could get in the Spirit of God. And I could do the old man. I could get holy with you in the service. I could weep and cry. Crocodile tears. But then when it come time, I still didn't know. It wasn't until the Lord brought me into the presence of love that I began to understand. And it was only after 5-6 months of in that love, the Father started talking to me about what he wants to do. I'm like, he didn't change anything he wanted to do, but I saw it differently. I felt it differently. Because he's the same thing he told me 25 years ago, same thing he told me 10 years ago. It hadn't changed. One thing about the God's will, it never changes. You change. Oh, God is so glorious. He's always been glorious. You just found that place. Amen. Now, once you journey into the love of the Father, which everybody now, okay, I'll pause with that because the Lord said, okay, tell them how to get to the love of the Father. Amen. A lot of people know how to go through the door. A lot of people are moving in the rest. A lot of people are moving in union with the Lord. When it comes time to jump up to the love of the Father, they're getting blocked out. They're not making it up into the true love of the Father. And the reason why is not always a lack of faith. A lot of times it's not your faith. You haven't prepared your spirit. How do I do that? How do I prepare my spirit to go in the love of the Father? Your spirit contains the revelation or the light of God. Amen. If I want to go someplace I've not ever been, it's an invisible place, but a very real place, but invisible out of my touch of my senses, out of the touch of my hands. I can't touch it. I can't see it with my natural eyes. How do I get over to there? Well, you're going to have to fill your compass with the right thing. Amen? I'll use the analogy of this. If I want to go to Destin, Florida, in the old days before we had cell phones, you had to get a map out. Amen? Remember, because you drive, you're going to lay that map on it, and you're going to draw your way over. Not the younger generation. We had to go buy the map at the store. You got to trace that map out. Now, you have 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 times you could turn to the right or left. You're going to have to follow the map. Amen? Now, if I'm trying to get to Destin, you can't be going to Destin looking at Colorado. Colorado's good. Colorado could be in the will of God for you, but not today. Amen? You can't be focused on Colorado going to Destin. You got to get on the map to where you're going. Amen? It's all about focused compass. How do I set a compass to the Father? How do I get focused? Because your faith, listen to this very carefully, will actually release into what your heart is full of. You got to fill your heart with the compass of the Father. If you're having a hard time moving in the love of the Father, you should shut everything out. Shut everything out and get every teaching from this crazy pastor named LaRue. Or get the revelation of John 14, 15, 16, 17. All of John, really. And start listening to only those things that pertain to where you want to go. Now, you can fill yourself with knowledge, 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 knowledge. You can have 50 books and get your head to where it explodes in knowledge, but you can never arrive because your head will not get you where you need to go. Only your heart will. So if I need to go somewhere, I need my heart. This is what the Holy Spirit did to me. He'd bring that word in and explode it on the inside of me. And when he would explode that word, I would just move to that place of explosion. Because he would open that realm. See, the Bible says the entrance of thy word bringeth light. Amen. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Amen. So if I don't have enough word, if that place is not lit up enough, I can't get there. So I was counseling somebody yesterday as well. And this person just knowledge machine. I mean, he has a job where he can just listen to 8 teachings a day. And he's listening to everything. I mean, he just, I want to learn about this. 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 So I just stopped. I said, what do you need? I know what you want. You want everything and you want it now. But what do you need? He says, well, what I really need is the identity of a son and the love of the Father. I can't get to the love of the Father. I said, you're not going to get to the love of the Father the way you're going at it. What you need to do is stop trying to conquer the knowledge of the kingdom of God from A to Z and listening and reading everything that gets in your path. What you need is hone your compass in. See, I can only see what my Father's doing. What is the Father doing now? Well, the Father wants me to come to where he is. Then everything that you put in your ear and your eye gate needs to be concerning dwelling with the Father. Cut out all other teachings. But you have to hone your compass in. Amen. Everything that goes in your eye gate, ear gate, you listen, listen, listen. I said, instead of listening to 8 different teachings, I said, listen to 1. 8 times. Listen to one 8 times. Do you know when I used to do this to my spiritual father, a lot of times the light wouldn't come on to the 6th or 7th time. One teaching, I listened to it 22 times. 21 times. 21 days in a row I listened to that. And bam, it got a part of me. But what happens, what you're doing is honing a compass, see, because your spirit, that light comes in, the light is lighting something that was not previously lit. You keep listening. You know, a lot of times what I used to do is I would just take yellow pads and I would take the teaching and I would just write it as fast as he could say it. What am I doing? I'm just writing. All I'm doing in that to keep my focus on there. Because what would happen, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost would get involved. And what you're looking for is the Holy Spirit to come light that place up, see. And when he does, it goes beyond knowledge. Now it becomes revelation. Once that light comes, stop! Engage! And move. Because the entrance of the Word has brought light now. Now your faith can grab that light. And move to the place that you can now see. The problem is a lot of people trying to move to the Father. They think they know where the Father dwelleth because they have knowledge of it. But it's not the knowledge that's going to get you. It's the revelation. It's where he enlightens the eyes of your understanding. Pray the prayers of Ephesians. The dunamis prayer of chapter 1. The light prayer of chapter 3. Dunamis chapter 1 light. Enlighten the eyes of my understanding. Enlighten, because you have to have light. Because your spirit's going to release by light. Amen. That's how you get there. If you'll fill your compass up to where you want to go, you'll move to that place. Amen. If you don't, you'll be scattered all over the place. And it'll be blah, 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 blah. But when you're in there, you're going, yeah! Glory to God! So once you get to love, now you're ready for kingdom exchange. Well, he said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, once you get to love, you'll start seeing things the way the Father sees it. You'll start feeling things the way the Father feels. Amen. Now you have an element of faith that you didn't have before. A faith that worketh by what? Love. The faith that works by love is the highest form of faith there is. Because not only is a faith that worketh by love, it's a faith that's working with the Father, by the Father, in the Father. This is the place where you're no longer alone. Now you're exercising faith, but you're not alone in your faith. Before it's like, where's God? I'm just standing by faith. And I'm not moved by what I see, feel, or hear, but I'm only moved by what I believe. You're operating like that because the Father's not with you. Let me tell you something. When I'm operating in faith, I operate by what I see, feel, and hear. Because I'm not seeing, feeling, or hearing anything that pertains to this world system. I'm seeing, feeling, and hearing everything about the Father because I'm operating in Him, not apart from Him. That kind of faith is the kind of faith that'll move mountains. Because now you're going to get into the kind of faith. Now, let me bring this back to where we started. Now you're in the Father. You've got to get to the Father. Do I have to be in the Father? No. I've moved mountains without the Father, but it's not an easy process. It's a much more enjoyable process with the Father, because he says he fills you with all joy and peace in your believing. And he bounded hope through the dunamis power. Amen? See, say filled with all joy and peace. How about this? All joy, peace, and love. It was supposed to be designed to be a happy experience, a joyous experience. Everything about the Father is a joy. It's full. It's amazing. When the Father gets involved, now you get into this, I can only do, like Jesus said, what I see my Father doing. Let's word that with the scripture of John 7. I can only believe. Believing is doing, right? Well, once we do to work the works of God, he said, believe is your doing. So how about this? I can only believe what I see my Father doing. See, because what happens, he's going to engage your belief system when you're with him. And now he's going to give you kingdom mandate, kingdom assignment. The Father's going to show you. Now let's believe for this. Now when he says let's believe for this, you're going to believe for this. But now you're with him. You're going to see it the way he sees it, feel it the way he feels it. You're going to hear it the way he hears it. See, you're with him now. So when you believe for this, you're not alone. Say, I'm not alone. before, on this side of the love of the Father, you're going to feel alone in your faith. You're going to fight all kinds of things because you're not fully equipped yet to move mountains. You can move mountains, but you're not fully equipped to move mountains. That makes sense. Because he said you could move mountains in John. He said in 1 Corinthians 13, you can have all faith to move mountains. Without love, I'm nothing. But with love, say with love. Now I'm in love and God says, okay, let's do this. You see that? Now God's with me. Now I'm not alone in my faith. Every day I exercise faith, I get to do it with the Father, not outside of the Father. I get to do it with him. I see it the way he sees it. Better yet, here's the best part. I feel it the way he feels it. When he assigns me a project, when I dwell with him in it and I walk and he walks with me and we walk together in it and we're walking like Abraham, he walks you up into your future. You're in his love. Everything about that thing has his love on it. You're so full. It's so full. It's not just some empty thing that you're looking at. It's something that's full. Say full. It's glorious, his love. You're crying, you're laughing, you're shouting, you're singing. It's a glorious experience. It comes with security. It comes with confidence. Every day you come out, you're full of security. You're confident. It's like, oh, that was so glorious. Let's do it again. So why is this important? Because I'm talking about the creative now. Listen, when the Father assigns something to you, it's going to be way beyond us. Amen. When are the sons of God ever going to wake up to the fact that we were never designed to be servants to the world system? We were designed to have dominion in this earth. We were designed to walk in the realm of the impossible. We were designed to do exploits and to see the demonstrations of our God with us. But to do that, we have to learn how that works. Amen. And Egypt's going to constantly try to constrain and restrain us, cut a deal with us. I want to come out, but I want to learn how to do this with the Father. I mean, when we're dealing with kingdom, Father's going to be present. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, your Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, then kingdom comes. It's first the Father's love, then kingdom. Amen? Okay, so when the Father's with you, he gets involved. We're talking about requests that are far beyond, way beyond, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. That's what the Father's. He's talking about dispossessing nations, talking about shifting your generations, talking about making you the head and not the tail. I was thinking the other day, I said, God, I just haven't got to the place where I'm the head and not the tail yet. I'm just not there yet. I've been walking with you a long time. I'm just still not there. I mean, I know I'm the pastor of this church, but that doesn't mean you're the head. The head is you're above the world and its systems. There's nothing in the system of this world's restraining and constraining you. I said, I'm going to get there. Oh, Jah that rides on the heavens. I'm going to ride with you in the heavens. All my pastures are in the high places. I'm going to the high places. That is where I'm set my compass. I'm going to the high places. Amen. With God. Amen. There's nothing fun about the low places. Nothing fun about the valley. Amen. So, when the Father's talking about big things, he wants to birth. Now listen, when we talk about the creative realm's not going to say, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and boom, there it is. Creative realm is grown within you. Amen. When the Father transfers it, he says, you ask my Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. But then he says, I'll do it. Understand that. When you stand praying, believe you receive, then you shall have. When the Father gives it to you, he's not going to give you the manifestation. The Father's going to release the seed. The Father's going to give you something more precious than anything in the world. Because when you're asking for this large, whatever you're asking for, and all of a sudden the Father brings it in as a seed. Or he divinely conceives the embryo. Amen? Or the seed gets in the ground. It's all coming in like that. Now nature's declaring the mystery of God. When the Father releases it, that is a living release. I've had the word for 20 years. But now the word's changed. Amen? I walked with the word 20 years, but it had not conceived. Now it conceived. The Father gave it to you. When it conceives, the Father authorizes the transaction. It moves out of the heavenly places that are in Christ into your spirit. Now that holy thing that's in you has the power to transform anything out there. But that holy thing in you has got to be grown. And that's the word the enemy's coming after more than anything. He'll come after hard to steal it because you have received a legitimate birth in your spirit from the Father. It has been released. That which come out of there, the enemy cannot stop it in its full-blown stage. He has no authority, no power. When it comes out of you, it will cause an immediate bowing of the earth and its systems. Say immediate. So when the Father releases it, He's not going to leave you alone. He asked me a question the other day. When did I join my son in his earthly ministry? Did he join him at the River Jordan? No, the Holy Spirit joined him at the River Jordan. When did the Father join the Son? Because he said, I came from the bosom of my Father. I and my Father are one. It's not I that doeth my Father that dwelleth in me. Do you not believe my Father is in me? When did the Father join the Son? Anybody? When he was born. When he was conceived in the womb. When he was 12. When he was 12 in the temple. He said, am I not about my Father's business? So we know the Father was with him before the River Jordan. That's when the Holy Ghost came upon him to commission him. The Father was with him at birth. At conception. Father came with the conception. When the Father join you? Well, you join into his love, but when it comes to kingdom manifestation, are you with me? Are you listening? When he conceives your promise, he comes with it. Say, he's with me. Even though that promise is not out here, listen, this is powerful, my friends. Because this is a faith that you very, very rarely ever hear talked about. It's a faith that's coming out of the depths of the mysteries of God. It's a faith that's more joyous and more exhilarating than you could ever imagine. It's not a faith that sits there and has to bar down on circumstances all day long and bear down on the wind. It's a faith that's above the world and its systems. It's a faith where you dwell with the Father, but then the Father dwells with you in that holy promise he conceived. He comes with it to watch over it, to birth. And when you watch and walk together in a womb of promise, when the Father's with you and the Father starts walking with you, that holy seed or that holy emerald starts expanding inside your garden. Goes like this. The kingdom has transferred. Amen. The Father has given it. A lot of people think, oh, the Father will give it to you, then it will just manifest. No, he won't. Because he gives it to you in seed form. It comes in an embryonic state. It has to grow, just like nature itself is declaring to you how this works. Moms, you know. It's Father's Day, but moms, you know. Before that life comes out. When you're pregnant, moms, you already know you got 9 months. Look at your neighbor and say, 9 months. But that plant, however long it takes to grow before it breaks the ground, the farmer's not going to question the fact that seed's in the ground. He already knows that seed's going to suck in the life. But in that seed is the image of the entire thing. When God releases that seed in you, the image of that full-blown tree is already there. It's already in that seed. So when you're in the Father in your heart, you get to walk with the Father in the image of that seed. You see the whole tree, even though it's in seed form. You and the Father are looking at the whole future of it. He puts you inside the image of that seed. You get in there with him and he says, now look what this looks like. See it the way I see it, son. Feel it the way I feel it. See it and feel it the way I feel, because you're in the image of this thing now. I'm with it. I put it in you. But now see it the way I see it. I can only believe now, Father, what I see you doing. I see this thing full blown. I see this. I'm looking at it not as a seed. I'm looking at full blown. You can't see it because it's a seed in me. But I can see it full blown. Everyone, look at your neighbor. Faith sees. Faith feels. The love of the Father. Everything about it has love written all over it. Everything about it has goodness written all over it. Everything about it has high places written all over it. Everything about it has glory! I come out sometime, I'm like, oh, that's so amazing! Because the seed, I get up in the image, but the Father's not looking at the base image, He's looking at the full-blown image of the seed. We're looking at the fullness of it. We sit there and panoramic movies play daily sometime of the Holy. I'm like, oh, that's glorious. Hallelujah. That is a faith that's not of this world. That's what Abraham tapped into in the final year of his life. He tapped in. You can tap in. You got to know the Father to tap in this kind of faith. If you bypass the Father, you're not going to know this kind of faith. You're not going to see this kind of faith. Because this faith is faith that operates in union with the Father. It's the way the Lord designed it to be. This is now, get this, I'm going to close with this. Father's House, 5 minutes. Give me a Father's House, five. Father's House, five, part two. 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 Okay, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting for? What is he waiting on? Mama, what are you waiting on when that embryo is inside of you? It has to grow. What is that plant waiting on to get out of the ground? It grows to a certain state, and then it'll bust out on its own. When it's ready, I don't care what you're doing. I'm not a mama, but I know when it's ready and the water breaks, it don't matter what you're doing. You are headed to the doctor. It's time for him to come out. Come forth! When it's time to come out, so what's God waiting on? He's waiting on that seed image to grow in you. Every time you look at it, you're looking at it a fullness. And every time you're doing this with the Father and you're dreaming in that full-blown image, He's painting. He starts painting on the canvas of your spirit. He paints every time. He's painting it. He's painting it. And that's how it's growing, see? It's growing in your belief system. All of a sudden, your belief system becomes full age with it. Even though nothing has come out here yet, inside, everything is changed. The way you see, the way you feel. The way you believe, it's all shifted. I wish I'd have heard this when I was 20 years old. With all the hunger I had for God, I wish that I could have directed all that hunger this way and not beat the air for the last 20, 30 years. I wish I would have known that. I know it now. Glory to God. Amen. Now, once it gets painted, it grows up in a spiritual garden within you. The Father says, it's ripe. The Lord said, it's ripe. The Lord says, now my Father will give it to you, but I will do it. He becomes creator now. He steps in his role as original creator alongside with the Holy Spirit, and they take what's in your garden. Watch this. The very image that was produced by the Father, and they manifest that image in the earth. Did you get that? You're asking the Lord, the creator, to manifest an image that's not. He cannot manifest a partial image. Can you imagine the Lord taking the partial image of all the stuff that goes inside of us and painting that out there? Listen, you don't want God painting what's in your heart before love. Did you get that? You do not want God manifesting what's in your heart before you get to love. Think, ponder on that a minute. Because you don't see your heart the way He sees it. You don't want Him manifesting all that trouble down there. Because you're asking for trouble. A good man out of the what? Good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. God's repainting your future on the inside of you. When it comes, the Lord takes the mirror image of your garden, and then through the authority. Why does He have authority? It came from heaven, but now it's in you. You gave Him authority. Now He takes that and He manifests that into the earth with the power of the Holy Spirit. And when He, the day, the day, say the day, suddenly comes, everything in the earth will immediately bow down. As soon as that breaks from the zone of your heart into the earth system, everything around that will immediately bow. It won't take a year. It won't take 2 years. It takes 5 seconds. It will come immediately. Say immediately. You may have held that thing for months growing inside of you. You may have seen it grow. You may have experienced it. You have laughed and rejoiced and loved. But the day that comes out, there are no more questions. It's immediate manifestation. Your life will forever change. And everybody around you will forever change. That is a faith that's not of this world. The God kind of faith. Let's give God glory. Woo! Oh, I know that's heavy for some of you, but I can't tell you how awesomely glorious it is to be sitting on the impossible, to know God is going to move impossible mountains. You'll be a recipient of it. I was telling Carlos, I can't wait to shift this because I'm only in phase one. I want to do this for this congregation. I want to believe not for 5,000 people. I want 5,000 disciples. I want 5,000, then I want to go to 50,000 disciples. I can't wait to dream with the Father. Not just multitudes to fill church. I don't want just a multitude of people. I want disciples, sons and daughters of inheritance. Dream, what will that look like? I know how to dream with the Father. Listen, if you have problems dreaming, the Father will help you. He has color that you don't have. Man, when he gets up in you and dreams, he releases his dream capacity in you. You get to feel it the way he feels it. You get to see it the way he sees it. And when he releases that in you, it is a joy beyond joy. And we're not even manifestation yet. I'm about to jump out of my shoes. Somebody say amen. Let's all stand. Sharon wants to share something. Hallelujah. Let's give God glory. Praise God.
Well, what is really neat is that he's meeting with the Father in the garden as our Father intended for us when he created man, and to have face-to-face encounters with God every day. And that's what we are created for. And the name of Eden means delight. And he's experiencing the delight of the Lord in the garden of his heart, in the garden of Eden. And that's the place where fruitfulness takes place, where conception takes place. And listen to this about the rivers. And the rivers that water the garden, the first one is named Pishon, which is increase. The second one is named Gihon, which is bursting forth. The third river is the Tigris, which is rapid. And the fourth river is Euphrates, which is fruitfulness. And so if you put them all together, out of our intimate relationship with our Father, we have increase, bursting forth, breakthroughs, rapid, immediate answers to prayers, and great fruitfulness.
Increase with bursting, flowing, rapidly flowing fruitfulness. The garden. Where did man have dominion? In the garden. Put him in the garden. They said, then let him have dominion. Got to get in the garden with the Father. Chuck's going to share something before we leave. This is awesome, too, because it's Pastor Chuck sharing, you know.
It does work. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's just something that I was noticing the other day out of Genesis 3. And in Genesis 3, verse 8, it speaks about the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. But before that, we're in Genesis 1, he says he called the light day. Okay, so we're walking in the cool of the day. In other words, we're walking in somewhere that was light, because that word day actually means, it comes from a pronunciation meaning heat. In other words, when the sun would be shining, when the light would be present. Now, the interesting part, the part that actually drew my attention in the first place, was that word for cool is ruach, which would mean is breath or spirit. Out of the 234 times that it's used as the word spirit, it's used one time and one time only as cool in that verse. Okay, so now, guess what? If you start looking at it, then you start recognizing that the Lord was walking in the garden with the Spirit and the Christ next to him, because who is the light? And as he began to encounter them after the fall, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were all encountering them in that moment. Hallelujah.
Wow. Isn't that good? Walking in the garden again. See, that's what God's doing, restoring us. I know we're about to leave here, but God is restoring us to walking in the garden with the Father. And Mike just said, this is powerful. Listen to this. Every seed the Father plants is destined to produce a tree of life. Everything the Father gives you is going to be a tree of life to the world. Isn't that awesome?